Today's passage is Micah 2, verses 1 to 5. Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil on their beds. When the morning dawns, they perform it, because it is in the power of their hand. They covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them away. They oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster, from which you cannot remove your necks. And you shall not walk haughtily, for it will be a time of disaster. In that day they shall take up a taunt song against you, and moan bitterly, and say, we are utterly ruined. He changes the portion of my people, how he removes it from me. To an apostate he allots our fields. Therefore, you will have none to cast a line by lot in the assembly of the Lord. Here in Micah 2, Micah continues to speak the words of God to the people of Israel. The setting of Micah, as a reminder, is around 750 to 735 BC, just a decade or two before the northern kingdom of Israel falls to Assyria. Here in Micah, God is telling his people, through the prophet, that this judgment is coming for all the sin that is going on in the land. In today's passage, the focus is on the greedy landholders of Israel. In verse 1, Micah says, woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil on their beds. This gives the image of people lying on their beds at night, plotting and scheming out their wickedness. So, as the second part of verse 1 says, when the morning dawns, they execute their plans because they have the power to do so. To them, Micah pronounces woe. We just finished reading James in the New Testament, and it's a very similar tone to James 5, where James writes, come now, you rich, weep and howl. Like James, Micah is telling the rich and powerful that judgment is coming to them. Verse 2 describes what they do. They covet fields and houses, so they take them away, presumably from the poor who are unable to do anything about it. They oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. In this verse alone, they are breaking several of God's commandments. Coveting a neighbor's possessions, essentially stealing, taking what should not be theirs. And obviously, in all of these, they are not loving their neighbors as themselves. In Israel, every tribe was supposed to have their own portion of their promised land, and the right to land was essential for each family. In God's kingdom, there should be enough for each person, enough for each family. Yet these greedy landowners are seeking more for just themselves. They're seeking more than they need, and they have the power to make it so. Going to verse 3, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster, from which you cannot remove your necks. All of God's reasons, all of God's judgments on people are for a reason. That's why he says, therefore. Throughout the rest of the Bible, we know that God has given the Israelites plenty of chances to repent, including the rich people. But when God's people refuse to submit to him, time and time again, he'll have to bring disaster on them. In verse 3, God shows that because the rich devise plans to have their way, God has devised disaster on them. Similarly, in verse 4, we see that the rich are measured by the measure that they used. On that day, they'll say, we are utterly ruined. He changes the portion of my people, how he removes it from me. To an apostate, he allots our fields. Similar to what the people who the rich took advantage of would have said. Now, the rich would experience what it means to be powerless. And finally, in verse 5, the outcome would be that they have nobody of their family to claim land in the assembly. We know that eventually God does bring back a remnant of the Israelites back to the land, and the prophecy is fulfilled in that many who possessed huge portions of land were now left with none after the exile. How can we relate to this passage where Micah is prophesying against the greedy rich of Israel? First, we can reflect on God's character, which never changes. God's heart for justice is clearly shown. In God's kingdom, he despises the sin of taking advantage of the poor. He hears the cries of the poor when it seems like nobody does, and he will judge the rich for taking advantage of them. We are definitely encouraged to seek to live in God's just ways. We may not be blatantly trying to grab more property, but we may have to check our hearts for that same greed or desire for more. Can we regularly thank God for the ways that he's provided and proclaim that, God, you've given me enough? Second, building off on that, let's reflect on what it means to act for God's justice. Not just to reflect on it, but to act and walk in his ways. Of course, this does not mean judging or condemning people who are rich, but it does mean doing our part in loving those whose society may be neglecting. Let's continue to engage in and pray for the end of systemic injustices. If God has convicted us to act in some way recently to work for his justice, whether that means helping with online tutoring or perhaps giving to a nonprofit organization or reading more just to learn about racial inequalities, if God has convicted us to act in some way like this, let's follow through with what he's put on our hearts. Let's seek to live our lives in a way that shows God's heart for his people, that reflects his character and his love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage and what at first just seems like condemnation to the rich. Lord, we see actually your heart for your people. God, we see your heart for the poor. And God, we know that you choose to judge the rich because you desire for the poor, you desire for the marginalized to live lives where they can thrive. And God, I pray that we would reflect on your character and that, God, you would convict us to how you want us to walk, God, in our lives today, Lord, wherever we are at. Lord, help us to know what it means to walk in your ways and to walk justly. God, we pray that your spirit would guide us and that we would simply obey and follow through with the convictions you've given us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.